Love in the Afternoon. Who can argue with that? All right. Thank you, EB, for a great show. You are tuned in to KDNK, Carbondale's Community Radio. The time is 4 o'clock. Oh, my microphone is taking a walk in here. The time is 4 o'clock. It is Friday afternoon, folks. And you know what that means? You got it. It means express yourself.
Express yourself. Express yourself. You don't never need help from nobody else. All you got to do now, express yourself. Whatever you do, do it good. Whatever you do, 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 Lord, Lord, do it good.
All right, and we are going to be doing it good here on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Holy Moses, it is mid-October, actually sailing by. We've already passed mid-October.
We're like in the third week.
Yeah, it's going. Well, welcome to Express Yourself, where creative and conversation come together. We're your hosts, Amy Kimberly and
Brian Colley,
broadcasting to you from the heart of the Carbondale Creative District. It's Friday, Brian, and only 9 days from Halloween. You have a costume planned?
I'm working on some kind of vampire astronaut. I'm not sure yet. How about you?
Well, you know, I'll put a costume on, but then where are we going to go?
It's true. Where are you going to go?
Where are you going to go? Well, you're going to have to stay tuned to Express Yourself to figure out where you're going to go. We got a great show planned today. October means falling leaves, cold nights, pumpkins, and scary stories. And we have some of that today as we talk about Glenwood Historical Society's Ghost Walk. We have a conversation with Ryan Honey from Takah and the Petty Nicks Experience, which isn't scary, but sure sounds fun for their Halloween party. And Brian catches up with the new residents at the Carbondale Clay Center. So don't touch that dial.
Afraid of no ghosts.
All right, Ghostbusters. You know, that song just makes everyone dance. You should see the whole station here is dancing about. Well, we are in the studio with Bill Kite, and I believe we have... Oh, no, we don't have Clara Miller. She's hopefully... We're going to give her a quick call back. In the studio, and Bill oversees the Glenwood Historical Society. Clara, I believe, is the driving force behind the Ghost Walk, correct?
Right, correct.
And here, we're gonna bring her up here. Hello, you are on the air. We got you, Clara?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, perfect. All right, well, we were just saying, I was just introducing you, that you're the driving force behind the Ghost Walk, which takes place tonight and tomorrow night, as well as October 29th and 30th in the Lynnwood Cemetery. And this is the biggest fundraiser for the organization and features the recreation of some of the people buried there. Hi, guys.
Hi. I'm sorry. I can't really hear it. There's some beeping in the background.
Huh. Okay, there. Can you hear now?
I can. There we go.
Okay, perfect. All right. You know, we are very technically savvy here.
Oh, yeah.
Especially on Friday afternoons. So, Lynnwood Cemetery, that's the one that's up on the hill, right? You get the beautiful view of the over Glenwood, kind of, right?
Right, yeah. It's also called the Pioneer Cemetery. Yeah, that's the one.
And it's got some famous characters up there. Can you tell us about some of those characters?
Well, let's have Clara do that of who just might be appearing tonight, Clara.
Well, tonight we're going to see Etta Swartz, her husband, and... her brother-in-law were big voices and proprietors in the cemetery. And so she's going to talk a little bit about their doings in Glenwood Springs. We've got Elmira Keir, who is our Nine of Diamonds, our Lady of the Night.
Oh.
We got some upstanding women as well. We have Amelia Williams, who's a little bit of a maverick for her time, a little bit sassy. But... wonderful, wonderful people.
What fun. I mean, it must be really fun researching these people and digging into them. I mean, this event's been going on how many years?
This will be the 21st year, right, Clara?
Yeah, 21, yep. Wow.
So, and do you use all the same characters, or do you sometimes mix it up?
You know, it kind of depends on who I have. Everybody typically portrays the same characters year after year, so they really adopt that personality in that person. And so it's kind of whoever's available when this time of the year comes around. So we see a lot of the same faces, but we've got a lot of new ones this year as well.
Oh, what fun. And so how does the event work?
Well, you purchase tickets. You go online to glenwoodhistory.com. Up in the right-hand corner of the website, it has a menu. And you click on events, I believe it is, isn't it, Clara? And then you go to that next page has...
Ghost Walk has its own tab.
Has its own tab. Okay. Where's that tab located then?
It's in that same drop-down bar that
right.
you were just mentioning. It's just there is a tab for events, but Ghost Walk has its own separate
All
one
right.
as well.
Well, there you go. So it makes it a lot easier. And then you can purchase tickets and... like I said, tonight is sold out except for one ticket that was left when I looked about an hour ago, and that's an 8:30 show. And so that's how you do it. It's pretty easy. It's $25 unless you're a member of the Historic Society, and then you get a discount, and then also if you're a senior.
And so when people come, you're supposed to bring flashlights and or lanterns. Do people get dressed up at all to do this?
Sometimes. It kind of depends on the mood of the people, but we definitely see some fun, especially this close to Halloween like we will over next weekend.
Uh-huh. And it's a little short walk up the hill there, so you park down below?
You do, exactly. It's not that bad of a walk, but there are guides. And so the show's at 6:30, 7:15, 8, and 8:30. So we have four shows a night.
Wow. And once you, so the guides take you from down below and take you up there, and then they kind of take you on the path of meeting these characters.
Correct. And
yeah.
Tonight it's going to be, well, this weekend and next weekend, the emphasis will be the women of Glenwood Springs. So I'll let Clara
Ooh.
Talk about that if she wants to, because I think that's very exciting.
Yeah, let's hear about the women of Glenwood Springs.
Yeah, it was kind of an accident, I'll say, a happy accident. It was just who my volunteers were this year, and so I'm really excited to be able to showcase those stories that we don't always see or hear about in history because they're a little bit overshadowed by their male counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, and so you told us about two of them. Who are some of the other characters?
We have Eleanor Malaby. We have, and she's actually not buried up in the Linwood Cemetery. She's down in Rosebud, our other cemetery here in Glenwood. But she was contemporary with all of the same folks, and she would have known quite a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we give her a chance to tell her story as well. And we have Ella Seller, who, quite a tragic story. Her and her husband came here looking for a better life and both died quite young in tragic circumstances. And who else do we have tonight? We have Allie Ward as well.
Yeah, Allie Ward was the daughter of Jasper Ward, a character I play, and may appear any time. You never know. He just might show up. And she is actually buried at the cemetery in Newcastle, but his other daughter is next to him at the cemetery, and she married Wild Bill Smith, we call him. He's pretty wild character in the Wild West. And so he was Marshal at Newcastle, and she was his daughter, and my own daughter used to play that part with me until she graduated from high school. So it's a fun part for everyone who's playing it tonight.
That's awesome. And so how long does it take to experience this?
It varies depending on how fast any one particular group walks, but it typically is about an hour and a half to 2 hours from starting at the trailhead and coming back down to the trailhead.
I mean, what a great way to celebrate Halloween, because I love history, and cemeteries are the place you want to go, but, you know, you kind of want to have that edgy, spooky feeling when you're in the cemetery, and here you guys have created it for us. Even though I wouldn't say all these characters are spooky, but just the
right.
that
and, you know,
feeling.
And it's funny, because history, the stories are stranger than fiction. You don't have to make up anything or embellish it. And we try to keep the characters that are buried at the cemetery, but in some cases, like last year, we had Big Nose Kate.
Mm-hmm.
She was portrayed, and it was really interesting. The character was his paramour, was Doc's paramour. And so if you want to see that performance, we have it live. It was recorded live, and it's now on our website and also on our channel, YouTube channel, so for free. So if you want to see what the Ghost Walk is about, that's a good place to check it out.
Oh, that's excellent. I think I am going to check that out. That's great. And so let's talk a little bit about history. I am a history buff. I think it's fantastic that we have these historical societies, and we just finished gathering the last 50 years of the Mountain Fair, and that was quite a job. I mean, collecting history and preserving it really takes a lot. Can you just give us a quick overview of what the Glenwood Historical Society is doing and how you do it?
Well, we do it by members. We will have a membership drive this November, and that's really important to us because that takes care of some of our funding. We just survived the pandemic with a couple of loans that we pay, were forgiven, and and we also have contributions people donate to us. We have a building fund that we'll be using here soon because our old building needs a lot of love. And then we have one grant that we are looking to get. It will be to fix up the coke ovens in Cardiff. And so we have a grant writer who will be meeting with Monday. And so that's one of the ways we also get funding is through grants.
Right. But this is your biggest fundraiser, right?
It is, right. And it's become so popular that when we were starting to run out of volunteers and decided not to have it 1 year, the public said, well, no, we'd really like to bring it back. And so we did get a infusion of new life, and Clara took the organization of it and the operations of it, and I'm really glad for that because she's the vice president of the board at this point. And we have a 9-member board of directors that oversees and strategizes for us. And so we're active in the community. We did a series of some 13 small 2 to 3 minute videos during the pandemic of history of Glenwood Springs through the Post Independent, one of our partners.
Wow.
That's a few of the things that we do.
Yeah, it's a never-ending job collecting history,
it
right?
Is. It is. Really, and we're making it today as we go. Some people don't realize that, and that's something to look at, too, how we make history in today's time.
Brian, I could see you being a character one of these years.
I am a character. I mean, I've actually gone on this walk, and it's really cool.
It is, isn't it?
That kind of spooky ghost feeling, but it's very educational. Like, I learned a lot about the characters you portrayed. Yeah, I recommend it.
Nice. So I guess tonight, Claire, are you there already? Where are you calling us from?
I'm actually calling you from my house. I'm packing up to head out there right now.
That's fun. You guys stay warm up there and really take care. It sounds like a great event. You've been doing it how many years?
Well, I've been doing it off and on since I was in high school. I went away for college, but after those 4 years and I came home, I immediately jumped back into the Historical Society. And that was actually the first year that they did not do it. So that's when I came back and said, nope, we are going to continue with this.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, it's a good thing you came back. It's really wonderful when people grow up here and leave and then come back and contribute into the community and keep it going. And that's the beauty of this whole valley. I see it so much. So thanks for all your hard work. And I guess break a leg tonight.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, take care.
Have a good evening.
Bye. Wow. That's just, that's fabulous. And so, Bill, you have been with the Historical Society for how long?
Well, I was with the board since about 2 years after I came here in 1984. And when I was retiring from the Forest Service, they needed a new director. And I said, well, I'll do that. And then I thought, well, what have I done? Mm-hmm. But it's been 5 years now, and I really enjoy making history come alive for people, mm-hmm. because it does come alive if you really look at it in the right way.
Yeah.
And so it's a fun job. I really enjoy it.
Well, I share your passion. Thanks for being here. Tell everyone where they can get those tickets again.
Yeah, they can get them from our website, glenwoodhistory.com, up in the upper right-hand corner. Click on Ghost Walk, and it'll take you right to purchase tickets.
All right. Well, thanks for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Come knocking on my front.
yeah. We are having some fun now. We have Ryan Honey in the studio with us.
And hey, gang.
Yeah. Ryan is the executive director of TACOM. And the contemporary. Are we calling it
Going with TACOM because we wanted to emphasize the campus that we're going to build over time. So this is just phase one. And we're still looking for that donor to name the whole thing. So.
Okay.
And plus, TACOM is more fun to say.
Yeah.
TACOM. Yeah. I do like saying TACOM.
All right. And we also have Adrian and Vic on the line. They are going to be performing next Friday.
Next Saturday.
Yep. The 30th. So hard when Halloween happens on a Sunday. Just 30th is Halloween as far as I am concerned.
Selfishly for me, I'm happy because Saturday we can throw down at TACOM with a big party. And then Sunday with my kids, we can do the haunted house and the trick-or-treating. So it's kind of working out for me.
That's great. So next Saturday, big Halloween bash at TACOM. And the band is the Petty Nicks Band. And I guess you guys can figure out what that means. Hi, Adrian and Vic. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks.
Hello. Doing great. Thank you.
Good. This it's fun. You guys are right out of Denver, right?
That's right.
Yeah, based here in Denver. And, we like to travel a little bit, get out to different parts of the country and meet new people. So
it works out well. So let's talk a little bit like the Petty Nicks Band. How did that come about?
So we were looking for the perfect band for Halloween, and there's lots of great artists routed and coming through Denver. But when we saw that Petty Nicks was available, we jumped because, look, Stevie Nicks canceled this past summer.
Right.
And everybody was just so – I mean, people, they were thrilled to go see Jimmy Buffett. But everyone was dying to see Stevie Nicks, and they didn't get that chance. And we realized the chance to have Petty Nicks come up here for our Halloween party was just too good of a chance to pass up. And the fact that it's a costume party, and full disclosure to the band members, there may be several Tom Petty's walking around. There could be lots of Stevie Nicks walking around.
Who doesn't want to dress up like Stevie Nicks?
Exactly.
You know, if you're a woman, anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be some male Stevie Nicks walking around.
That would be cool.
And female Tom Petty's. That's what I'm calling
on. Exactly.
I like it. So
for you, Adrian and Vic, how did you guys come up with the creation of Petty Nicks? I mean, obviously, you didn't make up these two people, but how did it come about that you came together there?
Go ahead, Adrian.
Yeah, we love the music to begin with. This is, rock music that, gets to the core of kind of, the American experience. I mean, I'm in my 40s, and this music is music that, I remember my parents playing at home, and, I'd ride around in my dad's convertible MG and hearing Fleetwood Mac and Tom Petty and Stevie Nicks. I loved it so much that when I was 12 years old, I gave my dad a Christmas gift, which was Rumors by Fleetwood Mac, because I wanted him to be playing it in the car when you're driving around. And it's just, we just love this stuff so much. And the reason we put Petty and Nicks together is because Stevie Nicks is on record saying that she wished she could have been in the Heartbreakers. She tried to be in the Heartbreakers, but there's no girls in the Heartbreakers. So this is kind of a what if, what if that had happened? What would this experience be like? So we have, we have some harmonies, we have some interaction. So it's, a tribute to what was and also what could have been.
Well, I will say you guys do a great job. I watched some videos and I was highly impressed. And it must be really fun to be able to go out there and recreate this music. So do you, Adrian, sometimes you'll sing the Tom Petty songs too with him, or, does it go both ways there?
Usually songs that I sing that were written by Tom Petty, I'm only singing because Stevie Nicks did sing. For example, I Need to Know. She was on tour with them sometimes. So if she sang a Tom Petty song, then I consider that fair game.
So you did a lot of
and
research.
Then of course,
this is like a history project as well.
Yeah. Oh, indeed. indeed. And in fact, it turns out we're both from Phoenix, Arizona. We both grew up in the same town. And then we have some Southern California history. She moved to L.A. I spent a lot of time in San Diego. So it's just kind of turned out that maybe I'm her shadow a little bit.
Except you're turning up,
like,
and
her.
She didn't turn up. So good job, because you're going to be here next week.
Well, all credit to her.
One of the other things we've noticed is that the combination of Tom Petty and Stevie Nicks is especially powerful, right? They're both amazing, fantastic on their own. And when you do it together, it just takes it up to a whole new level.
Yeah, and I think their music really touches people in the same way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like there's this magic with this, a lot of the Stevie songs, and then there's this, you know, this hard, this rockin' fun edge with the Tom Petty song. And it's been really interesting to see that the sets that we can put together where there's this journey. Like, it's not just a song and then a song and then a song. There's an emotional journey throughout this night, and people leave wanting to come back right away.
Yeah, we're creating a feeling of, like, you know, nostalgia, like, where were you when you heard it the first time? And it is kind of a rock and roll roller coaster where, you know, we'll take you on rock and roll highs like American Girl and Running Down a Dream to, you know, Landslide, which was, you know, written up in the mountains here. So,
well, I feel like everybody in their life has either a Tom Petty or Stevie Nicks song in the soundtrack of their life, or one from both artists. And so to hear them all in one night is going to be emotional for a lot of people.
And you know, I've noticed, too, even younger people that weren't around during that music are very, you know, are listening to Fleetwood Mac and Tom Petty. So it just keeps recreating new fans as it goes on. So you have when I looked at the videos, it looked like you had a pretty large band. What's the makeup of the band?
Well, we have 7 people in the band. So we have a drummer, of course. We have bass player, that's Vic. We have the lead guitar player, that's Justin, and we have 2 keyboard players, one of whom plays just keys, that's Ari, and then we have an immensely talented musician named Brian, who plays keys, rhythm guitar, harmonica, backup vocals, and lead vocals. He's amazing. And then we have the 2 of us front people, Julian, who's our Tom Petty character, and then me doing Stevie Nicks.
Perfect. And they both have really, you know, Adrian and Julian both have this knack for emulating, you know, the artist. And we, you know, as you said a minute ago, with the research and the detail that we put into this, is people tell us they're, you know, it's been a very fun show. There's a lot of great moments in the show, and it's going to be an extremely fun evening.
Yeah, it sure looks like it. Did you guys have to get any permissions, or can you just do this? I've always wondered about that.
Oh, what? No, it's perfectly legal to do. I mean, there's cover bands. It's basically the same thing as a cover band. It's all taken care of basically by fees that the venues pay to the performing rights organization.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like it's going to be an exceptionally fun evening next Saturday, the 30th, and people can get tickets where?
Tikaw.org. You can go to our calendar page, and all of our events are up there. Tickets are $25 in advance and 30 day of, and there will be a costume contest with lots and lots of prizes. So dress up, come have fun. And
can I enter?
You're definitely listen, you're already winning in my book. I got to figure out what I'm getting you.
Well, maybe there's a special prize for all the Stevies.
Right, yeah.
That'll be showing up. You know, I don't even really know of many other Halloween parties. So, folks, you know, this is a good chance. And the new Tikaw space is fabulous. Really a beautiful place.
And just to remind everybody, we are requiring vaccination. So just bring your proof of vaccination at the door. And we're totally mask friendly. So if people want to wear masks, they can. Eagle County doesn't require it. But just bring that proof of vaccination when you come, so it's easy to get in.
That's true. I could not get in until I showed my proof.
That's right.
So they're serious
about
it.
It took you about 5 minutes to find it, too.
I know. I had it right in my purse the whole time. Thank you, Adrian and Vic, for taking the time out to call us here at KDNK. And, boy, keep on rocking. It's good to hear.
Thank you for having us on, Amy. And we can't wait to see everybody next weekend.
All right. Thanks. See ya.
Yep. Thanks.
Bye.
Fun.
Well, Ryan, I still want to talk with you just a little bit because you got some things coming up tomorrow night.
Yeah, we got lots of stuff. So tomorrow night we have Consensual Improv, which we're super excited to get back on stage. This will be our first show since the start of the pandemic. So we're thrilled to get on the Tsukasa stage tomorrow night. And the group's been continuing to rehearse on Zoom for most of the pandemic.
I saw a few Zoom performances. Yeah. It's not the same.
And I think we gave it a good go and we made it work, but we're just over the moon to get back in front of a live audience and do what we do. The group's been gelling, having so much fun in rehearsals. And so that's tomorrow night at 8:00. We're coming off of what's been a really amazing week of community programming. We just did a partnership with Voices that was a Spanish language theater piece called Nuestras Voces. And that was last Saturday and Sunday. And while my Spanish is a little rusty, it was really clear.
We
did something special. Yeah, so you were there.
It was special.
Tuesday night, we had the author, Casey Gerald, who's an incredible speaker. And then today we had the theater filled with kids from 9:30 from Basalt Elementary, 11:30 from Crystal River, and 1:30 from Sopris, all watching Creed Repertory's show, which is a bilingual show. So it was an amazing week of great community stuff, and there's tons of great music coming up. So we talked about Petty Nicks. The night before that, we have Wyo Americana, which is a partnership with the Wyoming Arts Council. They're bringing down three artists. We also have a movie next week, which is
Boris.
Yeah, it's the world. It's a premiere. This is maybe not the world premiere, but it's a movie about Boris Karloff and his life and legacy, playing all the great monsters. So that's on the 28th to set the table for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And then lots and lots of music. We're doing Leyline with Katie and Kay. Actually, they're going to be our media sponsor for that. That's a trilingual show on Friday the 5th, November 5th. And then the hits just keep coming. We have comedy on the 6th. We've got Dinner and a Movie on the 12th. We've got Midnight North, which is Phil Lesh's son, Graham Lesh, his band. They're coming on the 18th. So if you check out Tsukasa.org, it's all up there. Kendall, our director of programming, just keeps I can barely keep up. He keeps adding more and more stuff.
And I think, people need to realize Tsukasa did not have the big grand opening because of COVID.
Right.
But that does not mean that they are not going full speed ahead. And so I think everyone out there, you just got to remember, things are happening at Tsukasa. You've got to check out their schedule. You will not be disappointed. It's well worth it to go there and take in a show. And there's something for everyone. I mean, literally, there's also a dinner and a movie, which sounds really cool. So there's lots of different cultural events, depending on what your level of interest is.
Exactly. And the thing with our grand opening and why we had to postpone it was, we were going to break our own COVID protocols. We worked really hard with Eagle County to make sure we can do what we do safely, and let the audience decide how much comfort they have with, being around other people. But we have a great, great air system that filters our air every 12 minutes and brings in fresh air every 30 minutes. It's probably the best in the valley because we're brand new. And so we set those protocols and we felt really good about them. And then we looked at our grand opening weekend. We realized we're going to break our own protocols. But you said it exactly right. That didn't happen. But what is happening is day in and day out arts, culture, and entertainment at Tsukasa. So go to Tsukasa.org, check it out, and come see a show.
Well, good. And we're hoping to have you guys on here monthly, giving us like the full array of what's happening, and we can call bands and so you guys will be hearing Ryan again, and maybe we'll even get Kendall in here.
I've been trying. He's like, no, you go. And I'm like, oh, I'll pretend I have laryngitis or something, and then I'll send him.
Before we go, did you win?
I don't know. This is the heated contest, folks, for Mr. Basalt.
Mr. Basalt.
They stopped voting on the 18th, and then I think they have to, I'm sure there's, just millions of votes they have to sort through and tally. And then there'll probably be an audit. I'm just kidding.
well, we're going to we'll keep our breath held until we find out if you are Mr. Basalt. And then I want to see a twerk off between Mr. Basalt and Mr. Carbondale.
Great. It was funny. My kids asked me, so, Dad, if you win, what powers do you get?
Yeah, superpowers, so I get, kids. Yeah. Superpowers. Twerking. Well, thanks for being here with us. Really appreciate it. I know you're a busy guy, so
thanks for
keep
having
up
me.
The good work. Yeah,
we'll
thank
talk soon.
You.
All right. Thanks to Takah and Amy for that great little talk to get inspired by the Petty Nicks band coming next week. And in the studio now, I'm joined by the two newest residents of the Kalei Center here in Carbondale. Say hi, Gabby and Brian.
Hello.
Hey.
Let's see if I mess this up. Gabby Gowerluck.
You got it.
Yes, and Brian Bingo. Shen.
Yep.
Of course. And, of course, you're not the only residents of the Kalei Center right now. Trey Story is continuing his year from the previous year. So there's actually three of you. But we had Trey on earlier in the late summer to talk about his show. So I just wanted to get people, you know, some new blood and see what you guys are up to. I wrote down, like, your bios and stuff, but that's probably not going to be that interesting. But the reason we're talking with you tonight is because you have an artist talk coming up in an hour or so, or 2 hours, starting at 6:30 at the launch pad. And for those of you in town who need some Friday night action, that's where it's going to be, at the launch pad. Why don't you tell us, like, how did you find the Carbondale Kalei Center? How did you get involved with, you know, the residency program? Either one of you. Who wants to start?
I finished up an apprenticeship at the end of 2020. And at the top of 2021, I think I just scoured the internet for a bunch of relatively well-known ceramic residencies and applied to maybe 10 of them and just...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carbondale was the first one to get back to me with an interview and an offer, and I took it.
That's the Carbondale Kalei Center. Always looking for great new artists. That's great.
I would have gone anywhere that accepted me. Nothing against Carbondale. It was one of my top choices, but...
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Gabby, how did you hear about it?
So I was just finishing up a residency in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. I'm at the Northern Kalei Center and was, just like Brian, looking for something new. And I'm very good friends with Trey Story.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've known about this place for quite some time. And I used to live in Fort Collins 2 years ago.
Oh, great.
And was really looking forward to getting out of the Midwest again and back out west. So here I am.
Very cool. Let's see. What's your background? Like, what kind of work do you do? I know there's a wide variety of clay work out there, but is it more functional? Is it more, you know, contemporary and, you know, fine art? Describe your work, because it's a radio show, so we haven't been able to see your work through the radio, but just describe it a little bit.
My work is generally functional. It kind of flirts with sculptural, I think. And is atmospheric fired for an organic looking surface.
Atmospheric fired.
Yeah. There are maybe some elements of human anatomy references. I don't actively think of anatomy when I make, but my academic background is in biology and human anatomy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a great combo. Wow. Thanks, Brian.
So I would say that the work that I currently make is functional sculpture. So I just finished up a big body of work of pour-over coffee makers. So, definitely referencing the classic pour-over coffee setup. But I got this idea to put the coffee maker on the wall. So I made, like, this structure.
Whoa.
So I'm a hand builder.
Whoa.
Structure that holds the pour-over coffee maker, so puts in a different environment than just your tabletop. Mm-hmm. And so I was doing slab built ceramic, and my surface is monochromatic, bright colors. I'm very inspired by Tupperware.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so all right. Plastic. Plastic is so beautiful. So I look at that stuff all the time, and so it just made its way into my ceramic work.
Well, I'm sure the plastic haters out there will appreciate the ceramic work that you're making. That's great. Because ceramics can go right back in the earth. It's all just, you know, stone and glass, basically, I guess. Can you talk about what it means to be a resident at the Kalei Center? I know a little bit about, like, the responsibilities and duties, and then you'll get a show eventually, I think next summer, probably. depending on how late your residency goes, which I think you're both through August of next year. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things does it mean? Like, are you helping with classes? Are you, you have a studio obviously somewhere on the grounds there.
I view it as a work trade.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like generally a lot of residencies, with a lot of residencies, artists go to pursue some specific aspect of their work that they don't have quite figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And they personally don't have the facilities to do it. So they will travel around to residencies, and it's always good exposure and traffic. And it looks great on a resume too.
Sure.
Yeah.
I can see that. Yeah. And then you have some responsibilities. You're like the work trade. So you're mm-hmm. still working a little bit for the Clay Center. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just with classes, and do you teach a class or?
I think we both teach an adult wheel throwing class.
Cool.
And then we owe the studio some amount of hours per month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are residencies for ceramic artists typically a year long? That seems like a long time. I'm a studio like painter artist, and I feel like the residencies I've seen are more like 10 weeks. So to go from that, it's like a five times more than that for mm-hmm. a year.
Yeah,
they
always vary. So that's why if you do your research about all these different residencies, that's a very important thing to know is the duration. Some residencies are up to 2 years, 3 years.
Wow.
And just like you said, yeah, there are some that are even shorter, like 1 month to
mm-hmm.
3 months. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's really nice to be somewhere for a year, and then we can possibly renew a residency for another year. So
right.
possibly
like
even 2 years,
done,
which is
I guess.
Great.
Yeah. Was that like a positive thing to have a year long residency? Have you done shorter or longer residencies? I'm just curious to hear like perspective from you guys.
This is my first residency.
Oh, cool.
And I was not looking for a shorter residency just because with the amount of wait time for drying with clay, it's like anything under 3 months is just way too fast.
Right.
So I was looking for something longer to like really invest some time and, you know, I'll have some margin of error to make mistakes and respond
mm-hmm.
to them.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Sure. Great. Let's just look at my notes here. Brian, it says you are one of Ceramic Monthly's 2021 emerging artists. What does this mean? Is this like a pretty unique kind of stature, I guess?
I think it's a fairly good award.
Sounds good.
It's like an application-based
sounds
award.
Sounds really good.
What does it mean?
Well, is this something they hand out just, you know, to anyone? Probably not.
Generally, no.
Yes.
I don't think so.
That's what I thought.
If I could remember, repeat, what the jury person had said, I would be able to... better answer this question.
It's all good. I put you on the spot. Sorry. I told you I wasn't going to do that before we walked in.
Generally, I do feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, it does become a line on my resume because there's always work to be done.
Sure.
I didn't have everything figured out when I got the award. So, yeah, I'm still just looking forward, and I'm honored to have gotten the award.
You sound very humble. That's good.
Yeah, he's just being modest. It's a big deal to the clay community. It's definitely like a recognition. He's worked hard
mm-hmm.
to get where he was. And so to have a magazine recognize you, that means the clay community is recognizing you. So it's a big
deal.
That's
amazing. Yeah. Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
Gabby, can you tell us what kind of like goals or what do you hope to achieve during the residency? You have a year, well, less than a year now because it's through August unless you renew, which you hopefully will. What kind of things are you looking forward to working on? You've got your coffee makers on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
What other kind of, you know, being part of the community here is probably a cool thing to get to be a part of. But since you are just at the Clay Center, you're a resident and you get to focus on that. What kind of stuff are you looking forward to?
Ooh, lots of good stuff. So I feel like ceramics and especially like pottery is usually geared towards functional ceramics. So cups, so pots for humans, but...
Mm.
Right now, I am going to be making work for animals. So currently, oh. I have a cat. His name is Grady. If you come to the show, you'll see a photo of him.
Oh, cool.
Or if you come to our talk, you'll see a photo of him. But I'm currently making litter boxes.
Okay.
And ceramic litter box scoops and just all these different accessories for animals. Yeah. So I'm creating functional objects, but that function is just different than something that will, you know, deliver food to you.
And that's another thing, you can replace the plastic, because I'm sure most kitty litter boxes and
they are
all plastic.
They're beautiful, but they're plastic.
Wow. And Brian, what kind of things are you hoping to work on over the next several months?
I am working on like a new color palette and surface. I'm switching from wood firing to soda firing.
How far out?
So I need to get reps in with the kiln at Carbon Nuclear Center. So I've generally slowed down my form exploration, and I'm kind of messing around with colored slips and flashing slips and different glazes and that kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So exciting to have you guys here. It's always exciting because the Clay Center always brings in, you know, some new people to town, and, you know, being in a small town, it kind of feels like a bubble. It can feel like a bubble sometimes. So it's really refreshing just to have, you know, fresh ideas coming through, and your work. I can't wait to see the work in your talk tonight. Anything else you want to mention about, you know, being here, being part of the Clay Center?
I think the Clay community here is amazing for its small but mighty. Being in Minneapolis at the Northern Clay Center beforehand, this community here is thriving and amazing, and I'm definitely really happy to be here. You can feel the momentum and happiness in the studio for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, there's a lot of the clay community, especially like even in the whole valley, like Anderson Ranch has got a great clay community. Even CMC has built a clay family there. So we're just lucky to be living in a great creative spot. So tonight, for those who missed the beginning, there's a resident artist talk from 6:30 to 8:30 at the launch pad. It's going to be a resident artist slide presentation welcoming Gabby and Brian and their continuing resident Trey, who's not here, but he'll be at the talk. And each of you is going to give like a 15-20 minute presentation, and you're going to have samples of your work for sale. Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. I look forward to heading over there after the show and helping with that.
Yeah, thank you for having
us. Thank you.
Yeah, good to talk with you guys.
Friday, I am in love.
Who doesn't love Friday?
I know. What a great show, Bri.
Yeah, that was fun. It's fun having all these cool people.
I know. It's nice having people in the studio live.
Yep, something about it.
Well, there is still a lot of things going on this week, even though one might say it's off season. I don't know. Wranglers and Rhinestones happening tomorrow night. That's a benefit for Windwalkers. And would you be a Wrangler or a Rhinestone?
I don't know. Maybe both.
It seems like it's a lot of fun. They're going to have live music. I heard April interview the gal that's playing, and she sounded great. We also have Consensual Improv at Taka. And then what else we got?
I hear there's a band called Feeding Giants tonight at Steve's Guitar starting at 8, acoustic trio.
Yep. And then we obviously have the Artist Talk with the residents of the Clay Center. You could probably go to that and even do something else because that'll be 6:30 to about 7:30.
I think it's 2 hours, though, because there's three folks. And
oh, right, because, yeah, so, okay, so 6:30 to 8:30. Dune, did you read Dune?
I did some audiobook stuff, but I haven't dived into Dune. I haven't dove. Oh, gosh.
Man, I loved reading those books way back when. But Dune is out, and it's showing at the Crystal Theater and Al Jebel Theaters. So you can pick your theater and see some Dune.
The Wheeler Opera House is hosting a concert with Bird Talker at 7:30 tonight.
Yeah, and I hear they're really good. And then, coming up next week on Express Yourself, it's our special Halloween edition. So listen to friends and family, read their favorite spooky pieces. We've got some live music, right?
We're actually going to have to pre-record that, but it'll feel live. You know,
it'll feel live.
Like it's right happening.
It'll be almost live.
Yeah.
But, you know, this zombie, we're going to call it zombie music.
Yeah, almost live.
And I think we'll have a taste of Soul Theater's Hobbit production.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Brian didn't know about that.
Amy keeps me in the dark.
You know,
the spooky.
We're creative here and spontaneous. That's what happens, Brian. So a lot going on out there and you know, and it's beautiful. It's just beautiful weather. When do you think the first really big snow that sticks is going to happen?
Well, gosh, I thought it was going to already happen because this time last year, we had already a big snowstorm, October 15th last year.
Oh.
It was like a foot deep. So I already got my snow tires on.
Yeah. So
I'm already ahead of
the game. So now it's not going to snow, Brian. I hate to break the news to you.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's going to be a beautiful weekend. So hopefully you get to get out there and enjoy it. Walk by the 4th Street Plaza and check out the mural that's just got up there.
Yeah.
We'll have a celebration first Friday in November.
That's right. So stay tuned here, or if you're interested in all things that happen in the Creative District, you can go to CarbondaleCreativeDistrict.com. You know, just keep that creativity coming because that is what keeps all of us sane through all this insanity. All right, you guys, get ready for some Bird Talk. Is it Bird Talk?
Pulse of the Planet.
Oh, Pulse of the Planet. And have a fabulous weekend out there. Stay safe and just keep listening to KDNK. Here we go.